Okay, Johnny, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. Just first of all, introduce yourself maybe and tell us something about your family and school education and work background.
Yeah, I'm Johnny Addis. I'm 29 years old, just turned 29 last week. I am married to Olivia and been married for a couple of years now. I live in Carrickfergus and I teach in Whitehead Primary School, Primary 6. I've been there for 4 years now and I love my job. It's great. My family, my mum and dad live in Carrick. My brother lives in Carrick. My sister lives in Jordanstown just down the road. And I've got two little nephews, Archer and Elijah, and a little niece called Amelia.
And just thinking of your teaching career, first of all, Johnny, plenty of challenges, I'm sure, but also very rewarding. What were some of the particular difficulties you faced maybe over the last year and a half?
Obviously with COVID, things have been very, very different in the last year and a half. During the first lockdown, things came upon us very quickly in terms of 1 week where we're teaching as normal, preparing for the next week, and then the week after you were in the house doing your job. Trying to get everything online. So that's obviously been a particular challenge. Then that came up again last year in the new year for another couple of months, which again was a challenge. Very, very different times, trying to use technology in different ways to teach children at home, relying on a wee bit of help from their parents as well. So it's been difficult, but as you say, it's very rewarding. At different times. I love my job, I love what I do, I love teaching kids and the aspect of them learning and growing and developing is the rewarding side of it, which is great.
And when and where did you start playing football and how did you end up signing for your first senior club, Glentoran?
I started probably going to a proper sort of club as such a long time ago whenever we lived in Bucknagh, just down the road. I remember going along to Cullybaggy Sky Blues, and I don't know if they even exist anymore or how long they existed for. But I remember going there, and then whenever we moved to Carrick, joining several junior clubs, and then eventually ended up at Carrick to play for the under-18 side. We'd have actually had a very good under-18 team, won the league. Broke into the first team around 2011, 2012, played some games in the championship, and then moved to Glentoran in 2013, I think it was, something around then.
Okay.
Stayed there for 5 years. Was fortunate enough to win an Irish Cup in 2015 with Glentoran, which was great. Stayed there for 5 years, played almost 200 games, I think, and then joined Ballymena a couple of years ago.
Yes, you joined Ballymena in May 2018. That was your dream move, I assume. And how did that move come about, Johnny?
I was coming up to the end of my contract, and David Jeffrey phoned me through Paul McAreevy, who was the club scout at the time, and phoned me just at the start of January. Essentially, whenever you come to the last 6 months of your contract, other clubs are allowed to approach you and sign you on what's called a pre-contract for the season after. At that stage, Glentoran hadn't offered me a new contract. I'd sort of waited as long as I could, essentially, to see what was going to materialise at Glentoran. Certainly wasn't in any rush to leave there, but was also excited about the prospect of David managing Ballymena at the time and where they were going. They'd had a wee bit of success in David's first couple of years. Glentoran maybe weren't going so well at that stage, and over the next couple of months then, eventually we came to an agreement that I would sign for Ballymena the summer after.
Okay, a colourful character, David, obviously, in the local game. What was it like playing under him, and what are some of the highlights of your career?
Yeah, he's obviously a very big personality within Irish League football. If you watch Irish League at all, you'll know who David Jeffrey is, obviously. The most successful manager, or one of, probably alongside Roy Coyle, in the Irish League. Won every trophy multiple times. So instantly there, you have a lot of respect for him. And that's a position I was going into whenever I went to Ballymena. Obviously, Ballymena is a good club, but you're in some ways you're signing for David Jeffrey because of his reputation. And I loved working for Davey. He was great with me. Loved his man management side of things, and enjoyed a couple of years there. The best year was the year we sort of finished second. We coming into March-ish time. We were sort of running infield close enough for the title. Unfortunately, faded away towards the end of the season. But second was still a good achievement at the time, qualified for Europe. We played in every final that there was to play in. We got beaten the County Antrim Shield final, got beaten the Irish Cup final, got beaten the League Cup final. So we were sort of the nearly men in my time there, but certainly competed on all fronts at different occasions.
We'd settle for that now, don't you? Competing and all. Hopefully we have a video of what I would imagine was your best goal for Ballymena. Do you want to talk us through this one, Johnny, if we can get it up on the screen just?
Hitting hope, I think, really. It's simple as that.
This was against Larne.
Communication, and that's a rather ambitious one from distance, and it's in! Oh, Johnny Addis! Pick it out!
Off his line, or?
Yeah, if you watch it closely, now people don't believe me in this, like, sadly.
He spotted Devlin off his line!
If you watch it closely, I have a wee glance and see the keeper's about 10
yards. And in a season of remarkable goals, there's the latest!
I could hit that another 9,000 times and it would never, ever go in. But thankfully that one did, and that's all that really matters, isn't it?
Appreciate your honesty there. Your dad, Leslie, is a minister, of course. He's your biggest fan, match day, yeah. I'd say. Very vocal in his support for those of us that are in the stands occasionally and are regular. Does he ever miss a match of yours? Or?
No, he's always there. Pretty much everywhere I'm playing, he's there supporting. If you've had the... if you've been in the unfortunate position where he's been sitting near you at a match, then I can only apologise for the noise that comes out of him during the game. But that's just the way he is, so I wouldn't change it.
The start of this season, you moved to Cliftonville. How did that come about, and how are you finding it there? Obviously, you're top of the league at the minute, but what was behind that, and what influenced your decision to go to Solitude?
I'll not go into all the details, again, I was coming to the end of my contract with Ballymena. Met David at the end of the season. David said he wanted to keep me, but I'd had a couple of issues with an injury for the last 6 months, sort of from January towards the end of the season. The plan was to get a scan on the injury. That didn't materialise for one reason or other. And so the offer of the contract was conditional to me getting the scan on the injury. And at that stage, I wasn't sure if I could take the risk and wait for much longer on a scan, and by this stage I'd already spoken to the other clubs, so I kind of had to make a decision on whether I got the scan and waited to see what would materialise there, potentially not be offered a contract at Ballymena, and I decided to call it quits with Ballymena, sort of understood where they were coming from, David understood where I was coming from, and so it ended at Ballymena. And then within a couple of days, I'd sort of spoken to a couple of clubs previously, but within a day or two, I was contacted by Paddy McLaughlin to see if I'd be interested in speaking to him about signing for Cliftonville. And whilst there was plenty to consider, outside of a football point of view, I suppose, let me just say, without going into any details, I'm sure you can imagine what that might have been. But from a football point of view, when I spoke to Paddy, it was an absolute no-brainer. I decided that Cliftonville was going to be the best move for me. And yeah,
it's all going very well, anyway. You're playing regularly, top of the league.
Yeah, things are going...
singing your praises last week on the radio, so...
Yeah, things are going well so far. We've had a good start to the season, personally and as a team. We've had a good start to the season. Also... been playing long enough to know that that can all change very quickly, and it's okay whilst you're winning games, but whenever you maybe lose a couple, you can have a very different view on things. So I'm enjoying it so far, absolutely loving it. I couldn't complain about anything, and we're doing well so far, so long may it continue.
Some big changes in the Irish Premiership landscape in recent years with the full-time models. Do you think that's for the better, or will that be of an adverse effect, do you think, in the long term?
I suppose time will tell. I think it's definitely made others sit up and take notice and try and improve themselves. Obviously, with three or four teams going full time, it's certainly for their betterment, you would assume, in the long term. And I think then for the part-time clubs, they have also sort of had to maybe become a wee bit more professional, even with what they're doing, whether that's remaining part-time or looking towards a full-time model. So I think it is good for the league. Long term, we might see that there's more of a split within the league for full-time and part-time. But Linfield, for example, won the league last year as a part-time club. They've obviously chose to go full-time now. So it's possible to be successful as a part-time team as well as it is being a full-time team. So time will tell, I think, on that front.
And you've plenty of football family connections as well. Nathan McConnell, formerly Irish League player, now coach at Ballymena. And connection too with a famous Northern Ireland footballer as well, isn't that right?
Yeah, Nathan is married to my sister Lindsay, and then obviously his brother-in-law is Johnny Evans. So yeah, Nathan goes over to the matches quite regularly to watch Leicester and Northern Ireland, and then sometimes me and my brother and my dad benefit from that and maybe get a wee trip over to a game or even Northern Ireland matches to get a ticket for the match. So it's all
very
good.
Nice wee perk.
Absolutely.
So just moving on from the football then, can you maybe explain to us something of when and how you became a Christian and how your faith is central to your life, Johnny?
Yeah, obviously I've been involved with church life as such for a very long time, as long as I've been, since I've been born really, with my dad being a minister. So I've been brought up in church, went along to everything, BB, youth fellowship, church services in the morning and the evening. So I've always been a part of church. And I've had some great influences over that time. My mum and dad and even my older brother and sister, in terms of my faith, has been amazing. In terms of my own faith, though, obviously, as you get older, you realise that them being Christians and them following Jesus doesn't make me one and isn't enough for me. And you realise it's a personal decision. And I made a commitment of faith as a child. I don't know exactly when it was, what date it was, what time it was, but I do believe it to be genuine. And I remember speaking to my mum one night, whenever we were actually in Bucknagh, speaking about sin and life and death and all that sort of stuff, and me understanding my need to repent of my sin and the wrong things that were in my life. And deciding to follow Jesus. And as I say, I believe that was genuine. But also, I think whenever we moved to Carrick just over 20 years ago, I think it was really whenever I went into secondary school then that I started to properly understand what my faith meant, how it impacted the rest of my life, and live it out in more of its fullness, I suppose. Obviously, as a child, you're probably slightly more limited to what you can comprehend as an adult. That's fairly obvious. I don't think it was probably until then where I sort of started to realize how my faith impacted all aspects of life and how important it was, and really the only important thing ultimately in my life.
Thanks for that, Johnny. Just what church do you belong to now, and how are you involved or have been involved in church life or Christian service?
Belong to Woodlands Presbyterian, which is where my dad is a minister. So obviously, up to this point, we've probably just followed where he's went. Shouldn't really say that, I should say, because the preaching's great. But yeah, we've just been wherever he's went, so we moved to Carrick, and we've been going to Woodlands now for just over 20 years, since about the year 2000. I've been involved in lots of different things in church. I was a leader in the BB, and also youth fellowship. BB kind of had to stop in some ways because of football training gets in the way once you get a little bit older. And then youth fellowship on a Friday night I'd been involved in up until a year or so ago. Involved in different ways, and also involved with a cell group, which is our Bible study group, which meets once every 2 weeks there as well.
And any personalities from the sporting or football world or public life in general that you sort of admire or looked up to, maybe particularly as Christian?
I had to think about this. I couldn't really think of anyone in particular, to be honest. I suppose at different times it's encouraging whenever you see Christian footballers, maybe on the TV, you see them before a game, they're praying, or after a game, they reference God. You know, for example, last year, Alisson scoring the last minute goal against West Brom, the header to win it. And then after talking about praising God and talking about, you know, how his dad had died and things like that. So I think those sort of things are encouraging as someone who tries to play football as well. And being a Christian, it's always encouraging to see that. But I'm also probably acutely aware that nowadays there's probably some celebrity footballers out there who maybe reference Bible verses and things but aren't necessarily Christians as well. So it can be very difficult to sort of tell how genuine someone's faith is, I suppose. But certainly it is encouraging at different times to see people who are essentially in my shoes, only at the very, very top level, who are following Jesus and are actively witnessing to other people is pretty cool.
What are some of the difficulties or challenges of being a Christian in a football environment, based on your experience of playing in the Irish League? Is there a big gambling culture, maybe drinking culture, whatever?
Yeah, definitely. In any changing room I've been in, it's all very much the same in terms of talking about the bets at the weekend, alcohol, what they're doing that night on the Saturday, what they've been doing the previous week, talking about women, talking about all sorts of things. That's been rife in every change room I've been in, and Cliftonville's certainly no different to that. In that aspect whatsoever. So that is a challenge, I suppose. It's a challenge in the sense that, you know, I believe that there is more to life than all those things, and all those things are chasing after wind, essentially. And that there is so much more to life, and that God has so much more to offer than all of those things. So it's a challenge trying to be a witness in those places, but also at times, to be brutally honest, not getting involved in those things as well. You know, I would love to sit here and say that I've never been tempted to do any of those things, talk about those things in a change room environment, because it's the easiest thing in the world whenever everybody else is doing it and having a joke and a laugh that you join in with it. I like to think that generally, my witness is okay in the changing room. But I'm sure there's plenty of times it could be better, and I've let myself down as well. So it is difficult, but as I say, it's not anything new to me in recent years. It's the same in every changing room and probably in every walk of life, whether that be in work or football or just out and about speaking to people. That's really, you know, there's so much need for God and in the world.
How do you set out to be a witness in that environment? Have you had any encouragements or...
I think sort of in my experience, I've always found that the best and only thing you can do going into an environment like that is to make a stand and make a stand early, that you're not going to get involved in certain things, and there's boundaries that you just don't cross. Obviously, it's important to be relatable to people as well, in terms of getting on and having the banter with everybody. But knowing that there's boundaries that just shouldn't and won't be crossed as a Christian. I have lots of Christian friends, past and present, who have not necessarily made a stand when they've went into a sports team and have maybe fallen at the first hurdle on a team night out or talking about gambling or whatever it is. And from then on, it just becomes a real difficult thing to claw back. So I think that's something I was told a long time ago by someone who I have a lot of respect for, that whenever you go into these environments, the most important thing is to make a stand early and stand for God in all of those things. Because if you don't, people probably instantly lose respect for you and for your faith. And just off the back of that then, I think another thing, just trying to be a witness in terms of doing it consistently, and also how... I portray myself, not going in and pretending to be some sort of perfect Christian who never makes any mistakes in my life, but actually coming from a point where I'm just a normal person who's made a decision in life that I believe to be true and be the best decision, but who also makes mistakes. And I think in my experience, people and players have respected me for that, understanding that I don't try and come across as if I've got everything sorted in life, that I also have difficult days and whatever. And lastly, I suppose just an opportunity that came up fairly recently. In church last year, we were doing a Christianity Explored course and we'd done it on Zoom. And I somehow eventually plucked up the courage to put it into our WhatsApp group at Ballymena, that there was a Christianity Explored course coming up and that if anybody was interested in it, that they could message me. Nobody responded to it. But just a way, I suppose, that there are opportunities there. It's just having the courage to do it. And it's the most awkward thing in the world at times, to be brutally honest, you know, because you're one out of 30 players at a club and you're the only one maybe who believes what I believe. So it can be awkward at times, it can be difficult at times, but it's trying to trust God and do it on his strength and not my own. If anything's going to work, then it has to come from him.
All right, thanks for that, Johnny. Are there many other Christians playing, managing or coaching in the Irish League, and do you have any friendship or fellowship with them at all?
There are quite a few. I could name some, the likes of Howard Beveran, who would be well known within Irish League circles to be a Christian. There's a fella, Cameron Palmer, who has signed for Linfield within the last year or two, whose dad's actually a minister in Scotland, and he's a Christian fella as well, which is great. And yes, we've sort of, through Christians in Sport, there has been a group of us meeting online fairly regularly. Hasn't been anything actually within the last sort of 3 or 4 months. But before that, a fella called Russell Bars had been gathering together just lads who play either in the top flight or Championship 2, to meet together and just study the Bible, but also sort of specifically think about how it impacts us in our football and careers, which has been brilliant. And to be honest, a real help to me, just as an encouragement to know that there are other people in the same situation as me, trying to be a witness, finding it difficult at times, but also that there are people there praying for you and supporting you, the likes of Russell, who are there to try and help you live out your faith in football, which has been great, and I've loved it.
And how does being a Christian affect how you play the game in a very competitive, obviously adversarial environment where emotions are often running high? And I'll maybe add that onto my next question. How do you, about treating referees and maybe frustration at their decisions, how do you react to that and to wins and defeats even in the dressing room? Do you react in the same way as with other players or maybe differently?
I'm competitive and get caught up in the emotion of things just like everybody else. Sometimes referees make not very good decisions and make it hard for you to say nothing, and to be brutally honest. But as a Christian, I think I'm also aware that it is actually important how I treat other people, whether that be players in the opposition, whether it be referees, whether it be supporters who are maybe giving you a bit of grief, that actually I do respond differently as a Christian. Yes, again, there'll be times where I get it wrong and say things that I shouldn't, even about my own performance during a game. But yeah, there's definitely an awareness there that there's a need to be witnessing within that. And that also comes, as you say, talking about results. And I think often whenever you think about stuff like this, you initially think of the bad results and the bad days where you maybe get thumped on a Saturday and you're thinking, well, how does he react then? But also in the good days, I think it's important too that you don't get too carried away. Again, I love winning matches and enjoy a victory as much as anybody. But for me, it's not the be-all and end-all. And so if I'm seen as getting carried away completely over the top after a victory, then that says as much about me as going over the top when we lose in the changing room. And as I say, I'm competitive, and there's times things are said in the changing room, and sometimes those things are right, maybe after a defeat. But I think it's about perspective and understanding that it's just a game of football at the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. Just thinking then, turning to the stands or the terraces, Johnny, supporters are obviously fickle, and while you take your fair share of plaudits and praise, how do you deal with a lot of the negative comment and abuse that can sometimes come from the fans?
I think trying to ignore it probably is the best thing, first of all. And that goes really as much when you're getting praise as when you're getting a bit of stick, because you can get sort of carried away with yourself if you're reading too much when you're going okay, particularly at the minute when we've won a few games. People tend to get carried away in the same way they get carried away when you lose a few games. So probably trying to ignore it is really the best thing, although that can be difficult because it's only natural to sort of read what people are saying about you. And dealing with that is just part and parcel. Something probably I wasn't overly good at probably let it bother me a wee bit more when I was younger. But now that I've sort of matured a wee bit and have a wee bit more experience, like to think that it doesn't bother me maybe as much as it used to, and you just come to accept it. And also understanding that I too am a football fan, and I'm very fickle at times with my own comments when I'm watching Premier League matches. So understand too where fans are coming from, and just understand you have to get on with it.
Who do you support in the Premier League?
I'm a Liverpool fan.
Oh, Liverpool.
We've had a good couple of years. No, Liverpool have had a good couple of years, so I can say with a smile on my face for once.
You can. And how aware are you as a public figure on the football pitch and many knowing that you're a Christian, that you have people watching your behaviour and what you say and do? Do you feel the need to be an example or a role model to younger Christians as well as young footballers?
Again, probably when I sort of was thinking about this, this is probably something again that I was more conscious of when I was younger. Knowing that people in Irish League circles are aware that I'm a Christian, I probably would have thought about it a little bit more, but I think as my faith has sort of developed, I've come to understand that actually, if I'm in a good place with God and my faith, that naturally the overflowing of that is my actions on the pitch will glorify him much more than if I'm not in a good place with God. And so it's not something that I really think about as much as maybe I used to in terms of, oh, I've just done this, what are people going to think about it? But I do also understand the need that of a witness in football, on the pitch, in the changing room, at training, wherever, and understand that there are Christians coming through at clubs who are younger than me, and will probably need maybe an example of someone older, like I have needed people who are older than me, to support and be an encouragement in terms of how I act on the pitch. So, yeah, a wee bit of both, I think.
And how difficult is it to balance your time just between your teaching career, semi-professional football with training and playing matches, plus church and family commitments? Are there sacrifices to be made somewhere?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a real relevant question for me at the minute, just in my own faith, because since I've moved to Cliftonville, we train three nights a week. So at Ballymena and even at Glentorne before that. Obviously, Glentorne's different now. But at the time, it would have been a Tuesday and a Thursday night. And now I'm training Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. So I'm conscious that I'm getting up in the morning, going to school, getting home for maybe 4:45, 5:00, out the door at 5:15 to get the training for 6:00, and then maybe home at 8:30, 9:00. So doing that three nights a week has been quite difficult, to be honest, and as much as I've loved it and enjoyed the football side of things, I'm also conscious of how my own quiet time with God has suffered in that period already, because I've just got out of the way of doing things and good habits in terms of reading my Bible daily. Probably made excuses for myself in terms of not having the time as such anymore, when really you make time for what's important. So yeah, I have really found that a difficult thing at the minute, just with training 3 nights. But I know the importance of studying God's word and being close to God, and how actually that makes everything else much easier, and my witness will be much better and glorifying God in that. So yeah, a really relevant question, and something that has actually been on my heart and I've been challenged by over the last couple of weeks, just because I know I find that so difficult since joining Cliftonville with being out of the house so much. So yeah.
Okay, well again, I appreciate your honesty. Thanks for that. Johnny, what about the future? Do you ever see yourself doing a Gavin Peacock and moving into full-time ministry like your father? No?
I want to just say no to this. but I don't have any thoughts of that at this stage. Certainly don't think anybody in any position in life can ever say just no and shut something off completely. Because we don't know what plans God has for us in the future, and I'm a firm believer in that also, and understand that whilst someday a difficult decision might come along about what God wants me to do, his plans are far greater than mine, and whilst my plan at this minute in time would certainly not be following my dad into the ministry, who knows what the future holds, and well, God knows what the future holds. And I certainly don't, so we'll take it as it comes, but a no for now, let's say.
Okay. And just think of the Premier League then, what do you make of the fees being paid and the money being spent on the highest rungs of professional football now, and the adulation that the players receive? They're kind of idolised. Is that a good thing or not, do you think, in general?
In terms of the money, I don't think anybody would suggest that it's not madness, really. The figures that are being branded about now are just ridiculous in terms of transfer fees and wages and whatever else. But I suppose, and when I was thinking about this, in many ways, part of it's probably our own fault, and that we've driven it so much in terms of paying for TV subscriptions and going to matches and paying hundreds of pounds for tickets. And so we're daft enough to pay the money. So in some ways, you can't expect the clubs to act any differently now, and players demand fees that other players are getting, and it's just the way it's got. It's gotten totally out of hand. But in some ways, I do sympathise. I don't sympathise with the players. That's not right. They're getting hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. But I can understand why players make demands now, because the best players are demanding that amount of money, as ridiculous as it is. In terms of looking up to players, I think there can maybe be some positives within that, in terms of young people and wanting to look after themselves in terms of their health, and even having ambitions can be good things. But in terms of idolising sports people is a dangerous game. And I think, even myself, you know, I can be guilty of that from week to week when I'm watching a match and Mo Salah scores against Man City on Sunday, and I'm jumping about the house as if it's the best thing in the world. Yeah. But really, we're just trying to fill a void that can only be filled by God. And so that is a very dangerous thing for young people, to be idolising these sports stars, because ultimately they'll let you down at some stage, and we and I believe in a God who is unchanging and never lets you down, and that is the only thing that can fill that void in life.
Absolutely. Well, finally, Johnny, just maybe sum up what your faith in Christ means to you and how it affects every area of your life. Maybe any verses that mean anything to you, or what you would say to maybe to anyone that hasn't come to Christ yet as Saviour and Lord.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've shared already, sometimes, you know, day to day, my faith can be up and down, and depending on sort of how things are going. But on reflection, when I think about my faith, it's everything, really. If you looked at my life on a given day, you might think other things are more important to me, and on that day it might well be. But deep down, ultimately, this is the most important thing in my life. And I believe it's the only thing that truly matters. Football is completely secondary to that. And all other things in life are the same. My purpose, I believe, is to glorify God, and that's in all areas of my life, whether that's in school, on the football pitch, at home, everywhere. In my experience, and I'm sure others are the same, when I've struggled in these environments, it's because my relationship with God hasn't been where it could be. And maybe when I try to do things on my own strength. So learning about trying to rely on him more, less of me, more of him. Mm-hmm. And at the minute, just thinking, and we've been sort of following a series in our church, looking at the book of Daniel, and the series is sort of titled Brave by Faith. And I suppose it's relevant to, you know, football too. You know, last week we were thinking about in the book of Daniel, when Daniel, just at the start of Daniel, offers to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And he does this before he actually knows anything really about the dream. He can't interpret the dream at this stage, but he's fully putting his trust in God, that God will pull him through. And it struck me, just as it was actually my dad was preaching on that Sunday, and we were talking about how young Daniel was. You know, this was a young boy, really, of 12, 13, 14 years. And sometimes you read a passage like that and you just assume it's a man, some sort of wise, mature man. But this was a young boy, totally putting his trust in God. And so just really trying to cling on to things that got examples of that. Not that we aspire to be a Daniel as such, but that we actually look to God and put our trust fully in him, understanding that he can pull us through every situation in life, and he is the only thing or person worth putting my trust in every situation in life, whether that be the smallest thing in my day, praying over that and trusting God for it, or whether it be the big, difficult things in life when we go through hardships or trials. So yeah, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I couldn't recommend anything better, honestly, in life. And this I believe to be absolutely vital in your life. To have Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the only thing that matters in life over absolutely everything else. And I couldn't recommend it enough. And if you're thinking about it or you've ever thought about it, speak to someone that you trust about it. And flesh it out with them and think a wee bit more about it. But yeah.
Johnny, thank you very much. No problem. We genuinely thank appreciate you. You taking your time out of your busy schedule, busy schedule.
Thanks.
To come and join us tonight. And we appreciate you taking your time and your honesty as well. And thank you very much. Maybe a round of applause might be for John. Just have a wee word of prayer then in closing briefly. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our time of fellowship together tonight, Lord, and one with the other, Lord. And we just thank you for your presence with us, Lord, for all that we have heard. We just thank you for Johnny, Lord, and for the great testimony that he has, Lord, to your grace and love and lordship in his life, Lord. And we just thank you for that time where you brought him to personal faith in yourself, Lord. And we just thank you for how he has served you since, Lord, and for the witness that he seeks to be, Lord, in a football environment and a teaching environment and just in his life in general, Lord. We just pray for him, Lord. We pray that you would give him strength, Lord, that you would sustain him, Lord, that you would continue to give him courage in that difficult environment, Lord, and that you would continue to be a faithful witness for you as salt and light in that area, Lord. We just thank you for him, Lord, and for bringing him into our midst tonight, Lord, and pray for him and his entire family, for his wife Olivia as well, and his mother and father and his wider family, Lord, and the ministry in Woodlands and Carrickfergus, God. So, Lord, we just thank you again for your presence with us, Lord, and we just pray that we would take to heart, Lord, all that he has said, Lord, and that you would even speak, Lord, through that, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and would even draw many to yourself to consider that salvation that is freely offered, Lord, through the gospel. So, Lord, we thank you again for our time together, Lord, and just pray you would bless us each one and each of our families, Lord, and you would take us now home in safety, Lord. And we pray it all through the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.